This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning with verse 11, as he speaks to us of one of the aspects of the nature of God, and then tells of the problem that arises in the hearts of some people because of this particular aspect of God's nature. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. But though a sinner does evil 100 times over, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well with those that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear the Lord. Now, in the psalm that we read this morning, you read that the Lord was gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. These are characteristics of God. God is very slow to anger. There is another word used in the scripture, and that is God is long-suffering. He puts up with an awful lot. Here, the preacher in Ecclesiastes makes mention of this patience of God or long-suffering of God by declaring, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because God is patient, because he doesn't judge speedily the evil works of men. There are misunderstandings that men draw from this particular aspect of God's nature. Dangerous misunderstandings. But we do know from history that God is very patient, that God is very long-suffering, that God is slow to anger. He takes a lot. We think of the times of Noah, in which the scripture testifies that the wickedness upon the earth was exceedingly great, where men had turned everyone after his own lust and desires. Satanic worship had become vogue. Men were corrupt. The marriage vows were being defiled. And God saw that the wickedness upon the earth was great. But even then, when God told Noah to build the ark that he might escape the judgment of God that was going to come, God waited for 100 years while Noah was building that ark before judgment came. Long suffering. He put up with this evil, with this corruptness of man, for over 100 years until he finally brought his judgment. Slow to anger. We think of the case of the city of Sodom. The stench of the wickedness had ascended up to heaven. God had allowed them to go on and on in their wicked practices until things were so bad in Sodom that the homosexuals were beginning to parade in the streets. And God allowed that to go on, but in time, he dealt with it. God allowed the nation of Israel to turn against him. They transgressed his laws. They committed horrible abominations against the Lord. They turned after the gods of the Canaanites and the Amorites, and they forsook the true and the living God. And God put up with it year after year, generation after generation. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. But ultimately, God allowed them to be destroyed by Babylon. It is interesting to me that as the day of the destruction of Judah was coming, the prophet Habakkuk was complaining to God because of the corruption of the nation, and God seemingly was not doing anything about it. They were evil, they were corrupt, and God wasn't stepping in to stop it. He was letting it go. As far as the prophet could see, God was not intervening, and he was complaining to God because of all of the corruption and God not stopping it. And God said, I am doing a work. I am right now preparing the Babylonians, and they will be my instrument of judgment against these people. They're going to come and destroy this place. And then the prophet of God complained even more. He said, God, I don't understand that. Yes, we're bad, but the Babylonians are worse. Why would you use a nation that is more evil to punish your people? Couldn't you bring your judgment some other way? But God had ordained that Babylon should be his instrument of judgment against his people who had turned from being his people and had turned to other gods. I wonder if history could be repeating itself. Our nation, as we have said, one nation under God. But we have turned from God. We have committed abominable practices, satanic worship is on the increase. 25 million babies have been aborted. Pornography, we've become the pornographic capital of the world, exporting the filth to the rest of the world. And even as God used Babylon once to punish his people and to bring his judgment upon his people who were once called by his name, I wonder if God is preparing Babylon again as an instrument of judgment in these days. History records that ultimately God dealt with the evil works of man. The tyrants eventually fell, and the wicked were ultimately destroyed. It is interesting how that even in very recent history, in the last few months, we have seen some of those powerful governments fall that have oppressed the people. We see the fall of Ceausescu in Romania. It seemed that he was so completely entrenched, and the people were suffering so severely under the tyranny of this man. And he was allowed to go on, and it seemed like there was no hope for these people. And yet we saw his demise. We saw the judgment of God and the end of that wicked reign. But God is slow to anger. He's very patient. He's very long-suffering. Now, I personally have difficulty with this aspect of God's nature. I wonder why God seemingly allows people to get by with their evil. Why does God allow these wicked judges to excessively punish those who have been involved in Operation Rescue? And yet at the same time, they're so exceedingly lenient with those who are rapists or drug pushers, prostitutes, those who demonstrate against the government, those who trespass in the nuclear reaction or the nuclear plants and so forth. And they seem to be so excessively lenient with them, and yet they come down with a heavy fist against those who are standing up against an evil in our society. You dare to stand up for something that is right, and they're willing to crush you down. Burn a flag. Doesn't seem to matter to them. And as I watch the news, I often find myself saying, "Smite them, Lord." I have a problem with God's being so patient and long-suffering. I'm always asking God, bring them to speedy judgment. Take care of them. Why is God so patient? Why is God so long-suffering? Why does God allow evil to go unpunished, seemingly, and evil men to prosper? As I look at the conditions of the world, I so often pray, "Lord Jesus, come quickly. I don't see how these things can go on much longer. I don't see how it can get much worse. Lord, come quickly." Why doesn't he? Why has he delayed his coming so long? Why is the Lord allowing evil to exist and to prosper? Peter, in writing to us concerning the coming of the Lord and the promise of the coming again of Jesus Christ, tells us that God is not slack concerning his promises, that is, the promises of the coming again of Jesus, the establishing of God's kingdom on the earth. He's not slack concerning that promise. He's faithful. He's going to keep it. But the reason for the delay is that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so this long-suffering of God is related to the compassion of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God. And it's interesting that the psalmist in the psalm we read this morning, 145, puts these characteristics together. He tells us that God is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, gracious. And because God is full of compassion, even toward the sinner, He lets them go on. He doesn't destroy them immediately. He gives them opportunity after opportunity to turn and to repent. And the Lord is still giving men today the opportunity to turn from their sin, that it would not destroy them. And so he patiently is waiting while others are being brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. James, in speaking of the coming again of Jesus, said, "Be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. For the Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it." Now, I find I need that exhortation from James because I'm very impatient as I wait for the coming of the Lord. But he's waiting for the precious fruit, and he has long patience. So, this characteristic of God is a very beautiful characteristic, really. He's slow to anger. He is patient. He does put up with a lot. But you must be careful that you do not misinterpret these characteristics of God. Now, the preacher, Solomon, here in Ecclesiastes, does speak of some who misinterpreted that patience of God. He said, "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Because God does not punish sin immediately. Some people take that as a license to do evil. They interpret sometimes the patience of God as ignorance. They feel that somehow God doesn't know. In Psalm 73, the psalmist, in quoting the wicked, said that they say, "How doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High?" And because they seemingly are prospering, are getting along in their evil ways, they begin to feel that God doesn't see or God doesn't know what's happening. Or if there is a God, he is so far removed from his creation that we cannot know him, and he doesn't really know us or care about us. We're just so far removed from him. Now, the scripture tells us that God does know and that God does care, and that God is knowable. Others begin to interpret the patience of God as weakness. They feel that God cannot strike the evil, that somehow he is inept. It is interesting to me that those who have become involved in the satanic worship and satanic cults, if you talk to them, they actually believe that they are going to win in this final conflict of good against evil. They do believe and have been deceived to believe that the power of darkness is actually greater than the power of light, and that God is too weak, and that the reason why God does not strike the evildoer is an inability or weakness on the part of God. There are others who interpret the long-suffering of God as approval. They feel that it really doesn't matter to God what I do. I have heard people say, if God really doesn't like what I am doing, then why does God bless me? And why have I been allowed to go on doing it? And I'm still being blessed. And so that misinterpreting of the patience and the long-suffering of God as an approval of God upon my wickedness. How deceived can we be? Because God's sentence against evil is not executed speedily, many people are deceived into believing that they are actually getting by with their evil. And they think that they can sin and get by with it. Worst of all, there are many who interpret God's patience and God's long-suffering, the fact that he is slow to anger, they interpret that as God's non-existence. If there were a God, why would he allow the evil to prevail in the world? Have you ever heard that? If there were a God, why does he allow suffering? If there is a God, why do we have these horrible things happening? And they misinterpret the patience of God as God being non-existent. They believe that the idea of God is pure fabrication. They believe that God is the invention of man's mind, that it was man who created God rather than God who created man, that we needed something to believe in, and so we created a concept or an idea of God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, they believe that the world will just continue to go on in its cycles. And thus they live empty, hopeless lives. Now, it is true that the nature of God is that of long-suffering, patient, slow to anger, gracious, merciful, full of compassion. But there's another aspect of God's nature that we need to be aware of, lest we be deceived. God is righteous. And so the preacher said, though the wicked sin over and over, 100 times over, and they seem to be getting by with it, yet surely I know that it will be well with those that fear God, and it will not be well with the wicked, for their days will be as a shadow, because he fears not before the Lord. I know that one day God is going to judge the world in righteousness. And though the wicked may seem to get by with their evil all during their lifetime, and God seems to allow them to live for a long period of time, I know that one day they are going to stand before the judge of the universe. and that he will judge in righteous judgment. And I know that those who have spurned the love of God, those who have despised his mercy, those who have misinterpreted his patience and his long-suffering will discover another aspect of his nature, and that is his absolute awesome holiness and justice and righteousness. And I know that the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all those nations who have forgotten God. I know that ultimately it will be well for those who fear the Lord, and it will be judgment for those who have carelessly misinterpreted his patience and his long suffering. One day, a man will answer unto the eternal God for the way he lived his life. For we must all appear before him. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that is something that none of us will escape. You, none of you will escape death. And you, none of you will escape the judgment. For those who are righteous, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Far different from the judgment seat of God. The Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, is like the judge's seat at the Olympics, where you come before the judges to receive the awards, the gold medal or the silver medal or the bronze medal for how you've run the race. But standing before the judgment bar of God is something entirely different. That's to receive the rewards for the wickedness of your life that have not been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God is patient, yes. Slow to anger, yes. Long-suffering, yes. Merciful, yes. Full of compassion, yes. Gracious, yes. But don't let it fool you. He's not weak. He's not incapacitated. He isn't blind. He isn't ignorant. He does know. And one day, if your sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will be judged before him. Shall we pray? Father, how grateful we are that you had such patience when you were dealing with us. Such compassion when you drew us to the cross. Such grace and such mercy when you forgave us our sins and you brought us into your family and adopted us as your children. How thankful we are, Lord, for your beautiful nature. But Lord, I pray for those who have misinterpreted these characteristics, who think they're getting by with their sin, who think that they have been able to hide it, cleverly cover it, who think that you don't care or you don't know or it doesn't matter. Oh God, let them not be deceived. Don't let them be fooled. Help them to realize, Lord, the awesome righteousness and holiness of our God. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it will be well for those that fear God. It pays to live a good life. It pays to serve the Lord. I know in the end, it'll be well to those that fear God. But what about you? Do you live in the fear of the Lord, or have you misinterpreted the grace of God and the patience of God with your life? Are you just doing your own thing? Thinking that you're getting by with it? Thinking that God doesn't care, really doesn't matter after all? If God were angry with you, surely he would have, you know, taken care of you by now. He wouldn't have let you have gone this far. You think that he doesn't see, he doesn't know? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And there is a day of reaping coming. And you reap in kind. We know that. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. Again, a warning. Don't misinterpret the nature of God. Don't be fooled by the fact that he is slow to anger. He does get angry, though he may be slow to anger. And he will judge righteously against sin and wickedness. The thing is, he has judged wickedness and sin. And his son on the cross received God's judgment for your sin and your wickedness if you will just come to Jesus Christ. The judgment will be over. He bore it for you, so that your sins can be forgiven today. And I know it will be well for those that fear God. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Make things right with God. Don't misinterpret the nature of God to your own destruction. But get right with God through Jesus Christ.